Opening arguments began today in the case against former President Trump. He's facing charges connected with paying off a porn star just before the 2016 election to cover up an alleged affair. He is the first former president to be a criminal defendant. Yet surveys find most white evangelicals remain devoted to Trump. A book out this year looks into why. And it exposes a rift among evangelicals. One wing, more political, strongly aligned with Trump, and the other steering clear of secular politics and losing members. Tim Alberta is the author of The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory, American Evangelicals in an Age of Extremism. He's a staff writer at The Atlantic, and he grew up in an evangelical church. Here's a conversation Tim and I had earlier this year. You are a PK, preacher's kid. You grew up in an evangelical church in Michigan. But as you write, you saw a sharp turn by some of your own people from your own church at your father's funeral. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I had published a book about Donald Trump's takeover of the Republican Party right at the time that my dad died. And so I had a lot of right-wing media kind of coming after me. When I went home to my church where I'd grown up and where my dad had been the pastor for almost 30 years, there was some confrontation. There were people who questioned whether I was still a Christian because of how I'd criticized Donald Trump. And it was a rather eye-opening experience, to say the least.
And after your father passed, the pandemic came, and under a new pastor, this church you grew up in, it shut down briefly, like a lot of churches during the pandemic. And there was an exodus from your church. What did that tell you about the people who left and where they went?
What's telling is many of them found their way to congregations nearby where the pastor was sort of seizing on this moment and weaponizing the grievance and the fear and the anger, and really turned Sunday morning worship services into Fox News segments where it was, you know, very little scripture, very little theology, and mostly all about the culture wars and about our politics. And those churches, they have grown exponentially over the last couple of years because of this sort of militant stance that they've taken.
And this growing political wing that you write about, we're going to play a little bit of a Trump video that his people played as rallies, framing Donald Trump as a figure from God, as a savior.
And on June 14th, 1946, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, "I need a caretaker." So God gave us Trump.
Now, Tim, a lot of people might dismiss this. They might scoff at this. But for the believers, how did they hear this?
Well, you know, this is blasphemous language being deployed in a video like that. And yet, so many white evangelicals have gotten to a place of believing in the sort of underlying message about the country being you know, hanging on by a thread, and that they need someone to bring it back from the brink, that they're willing to go along with and kind of buy into this messaging around Trump as a messiah figure in ways that I don't think they would otherwise recognize in normal times. But for far too many American evangelicals, there is a belief that this nation is not just blessed, but that God is using America to advance his purposes in the world, and that therefore they need to fight for America as if salvation itself hangs in the balance.
Is this, Tim, a kind of Christian nationalism?
Well, of course it is. And I think, you know, Christian nationalism is almost the intersection of bad history and bad theology. So bad history, believing that the founders of this country did intend to form an explicitly Christian nation, that they actually did want a theocracy and that they meant to design it that way, but were ultimately led off course. But really, we were born to be a Christian nation, and that now it is slipping away from us, and that we need to reclaim that Christian nation before it's too late. I mean, that's the bad history. And then, of course, from that, you get a theological mandate that, in fact, even though Christ commands us to love our neighbor and to love our enemy and to pray for those who persecute us and to turn the other cheek, in fact, we begin to distort any sort of biblical teaching to then justify the pursuit of power and the pursuit of political subjugation of our opponents so that we might preserve this kingdom here on earth that we believe God has given us. And that is, of course, not just a form of Christian nationalism, but it's a form of idolatry. That is really at the root of what we're dealing with.
There are many times in this book, Tim, where you find yourself asking how serious Christians could support Donald Trump, given what we know about his life, his actions. What is your answer?
I think at the end of the day, what we have to recognize is that even though there are some who believe that Trump has undergone some supernatural transformation and that he's really personally quite devout, the vast majority of white evangelicals are very clear-eyed about who Donald Trump is. They're under no illusions about the man's character. They simply believe Trump, in some strange way, almost has a superpower that he can fight for them and that he can take off the gloves and get results in a way that no good, pious Christian ever could. And, you know, at the end of the day, he was able to deliver policy victories for them. And so they have essentially talked themselves into a place where they're willing to ignore, turn a blind eye to, or even enable and justify some of his bad behavior and ugly and violent rhetoric, all in the name of preserving something or taking something back that they feel has been stolen from them. Mm. And they believe that Donald Trump is the only person capable of doing it.
And Tim, to understand the contrast you draw repeatedly in this book, you spend time with other pastors in the evangelical church, to be clear, theologically conservative, and one of them heads the Word of Life Church, and it has sermons on YouTube.
In the end, there will only be truth. Every lie, burned up, it's gone. In the end, there will only be truth.
And Tim, the pastor of this church tells you, the idea that Jesus is some mascot for the donkeys or the elephants is a catastrophe for the gospel, and that this era will be studied for centuries to come. What is this pastor saying?
Well, Brian Zahn, the pastor there, came to the realization that by politicizing the gospel and by turning Jesus into a mascot for the elephants or for the donkeys, for that matter, as he says, that we are cheapening that which is meant to be a gift for all the world and that is meant to transcend any sort of tribal affiliations. And so really, what this pastor and so many others that I've spent time with, they're giving voice to this basic contradiction that the kingdom Jesus speaks of is the true kingdom to which Christians are called, and that any other kingdom, any other affiliation, any other identity must be secondary. And when it comes to be in competition with Christ and his kingdom, that we are committing the great sin that we are warned about throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, of idolatry, and that we have turned America, we have turned our political affiliations and our cultural grievances and our, you know, American identities into an idol. And that if we pursue that idol, we cannot love God as we are commanded to. And as we examine this moment in American life with Christian nationalism on the rise and political violence sort of knocking on the door, we do see a clear and obvious link between the conservative, white, militant wing of the evangelical movement and that civic unrest.
And for you, Tim, the political reporter, you write about the power of this narrative of fear and of grievance. And I wonder if you sense whether Democrats in general have provided a strong counter narrative to that.
The Democratic Party, at least at an institutional level, has really not come up with anything that's, you know, scalable in terms of reaching voters with a message that can offset a lot of this fear and a lot of the doom and gloom. And, you know, we see this even among voters in focus groups and in polls who are doing well financially, personally, they and their families, their livelihoods are fine and secure, and yet they believe that the economy is terrible. That is a sort of phenomenon that, you know, Democrats have not been able to pierce through with any of their messaging. And I think that that continues to be an uphill climb for the Biden White House and for his reelection team.
The book is The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory, American Evangelicals in an Age of Extremism. And the author is Tim Alberta, staff writer for The Atlantic. Tim, thanks for the time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.